Hey guys, what's happening? Who wants to tell me something that's happening? Anything? Tony, what's happening?
It's raining.
Well, yeah, it's definitely raining. I think I was telling you I was working on the new program I'm putting that group through.
Yep.
So it's been like a funnel.
Yeah.
It was,
as it should.
You know, pretty cool, because in terms of first getting people into the 14-day miracle program, then in Quattro Breakthrough, and I have another one called 6-Week Metamorphosis or Super 6 Metamorphosis. So I'm like naming these, you know, these programs as I put them through, and they, you know, the concept of it is really great, because I'm creating my own lexicon that these people are really buying into, and they're really garnering each other's relationships. So as we go through this whole process, it's been like, okay, you're going to be doing Quattro. Okay, we're all going to do Quattro. Okay, are you going to do the metamorphosis? Yeah, we're going to do the metamorphosis. And then what they've agreed to, and it's a funnel, because as we go forward, you know, the group is kind of diminishing a little bit, but it's staying, you know, pretty, it's standard enough to make sense to continue. But they've all agreed to, going forward after this, to continue to do a once-a-week call. And as I get my membership site up, they've all agreed to that, you know, they want access to the membership site. So what I'm looking for is to make that whole thing reproducible. So once again, the next step is to go back and then do the inflammation program again for people who missed it. And now I have some real anecdotal evidence and great stories for the women who've done really well through it. So they can, you know, I can use them as testimonials and then build it through there.
That sounds really good, Tony.
So I'm finally at the point of selling a membership, which is one of the things that when you talked about was super, super intriguing to me. And, you know, I'm at that point.
Good. It takes you a while, but you get there.
For sure.
Good. Anyone else got something new going on? Tony, I'm really happy for you. That sounds great. Nobody else. Okay. So a lot of what happens, you kind of forget that it was a lesson we covered 6 months ago, 2 years ago. So a lot of this builds up, and you apply it when you're ready for it. But we've covered a whole lot of things, and all of them are aimed at making you more successful and making you feel more fulfilled. So wherever you are right now is great if you're making money and you're fulfilled, but it's also a good idea to look forward, because you never want to get stale and you never want to get stagnant. And most of us at some level like to feel like we're creating something, even if it's just a greater number of people or more of a legacy that we're really impacting lives. So as we grow, all of the foundational elements of business still apply. They never go away. Like the reach, the funnel, the spillover. That never goes away. Touch, compel, capture, thrill. Like these are foundational paradigms that I came up with in learning about business when I was floundering. And once I implemented them, I said, whoa, this changes everything. So we're at a point right now that your memory banks are so filled, if you can access it, with a whole lot of stuff that you could apply. But as Troy has said to me in the past, sometimes it comes at you too fast, you know, and it's not kind of laid out in a step-by-step. So over the next 2 weeks, what I would like you guys to do is just kind of reflect, think back, maybe listen to some old recordings, and let's dig into some of the things that come out of the past of Be Better, because there are gems in there. And again, when you're doing it, you kind of go, oh, look at me now. You don't realize like 2.5 years ago, you got the little spark. And that led to something else, and that led to something else. So here are the things that I believe are foundational to any vibrant, growing business. I actually just had a really nice meeting with the owners of a company called BioStation. They do labs and IVs. Really nice, really clean. You walk in off the street, it's affordable. A glutathione is $60. It's a small dose, but you can get glutathione for $60. And they've built up such a nice model. I really, really like it. And ultimately, I want to create some kind of partnerships with them. But it's nice to see that there are people who are stepping into this realm and doing things the right way. So you go in there and you get your IV and you go on with your day. Or if your doctor doesn't want to prescribe labs and it's too expensive, you go in there and you get your labs. I like to see that. I like to see growth. But I'll tell you what is vitally important, because I've seen a lot of people start IV businesses and fold up shop within 6 months. One in particular, this was a guy that I walked out of there and I thought, I hope he makes it, but I don't see how. And he was like an MBA, and he had analyzed and overanalyzed and triple analyzed, but he couldn't tell me who his market was. And he kept saying athletes. And he was in a residential area, and I asked him, how are the athletes going to know about you? And he said, word of mouth. And his marketing was just very generic, and it was about IVs. So when I see the guy running BioStation, oh, my God, he's doing it right. He's doing it the right way. But I'll tell you what he did. He knew his ICA. And he knew his position. He has a doctor who's partnered with him, who I know well. And they're not a medical office, but they could do procedures sanctioned by the doctor. So they don't pretend to diagnose. They don't even have exam rooms. It's really clear what they are. And if you walk in there, it's medical but not clinical. It's very warm. It's very inviting. And the menus are so clean, as if you're in like a smoothie shop, and it lists all of the different, with cute little names, you know, the vitamin C something and the immune booster and all of these IVs. I think he's going to blow up. I do. I think it's a great business model. I've seen a lot of people attempt it. I've never seen anybody do it this well. This is his fifth location. But he knows his ICA, and he knows his position. So somebody comes in and goes, could I see the doctor? No, you got to go to a medical office. We're not a medical office. But if somebody comes in and says, I'm tired, what can you guys do for me? Then they have two different people. They have a nurse, and then they also have what they call their client advocate, who can sit down with you and explain to you what the different things are. So there's, in a sense, an orientation process. So their avatar is very simply somebody who's not feeling their best, somebody with brain fog. That's their avatar. So once people with brain fog and overstressed moms start to learn that their friends are going for these IVs, they go for the IVs too. He's not marketing to cancer patients. They don't do chelation therapy. Very narrow, but really clear on what he does. Now, do athletes come in there? Sure. But that's not his primary market. So understand that when you choose your ICA, it doesn't mean you can't take other people. Might a cancer patient come in there? Yeah. But that's not his ICA. That's not who he's marketing toward. So I think one of the biggest fears that personal trainers have when I talk about an ICA or health club owners is they think that they have to now completely eliminate everybody else. And it's absurd. I never suggested that. But the beauty of choosing an ICA is then you choose your position. And your position should be you are the best option for the ICA, or better yet, you are the only option for your ICA. Now, what Tony just said is brilliant. He created a lexicon. So when people go through program one, program two, they can't go anywhere else because no other trainer knows Tony's lexicon. So he develops a position. So if you've never really taken the time to refine your ICA, I think you're limited in your ability to market. And if you've been vague, if you said like, yeah, men and women between 30 and 65, it's not really an ICA. It has to be a delineated segment of the population that you could stand in front of, do a talk for, and every one of them is going to go, I need what you got. So if we're looking at one of the messages that was kind of passed along through this group that might not have been fully received, it's that. Know your ICA and know your position. Now, again, I would apply this to any business. These are foundational, but they're foundational things that many people miss. And when you miss them, you just have a harder time marketing. Sometimes trainers resist this because they feel like it's a lot of work. It is a lot of work. but it's work that's going to kind of cement your future. You know, it's a lot of thought. It is. Absolutely. But know who your customer is, and then you will find your customer everywhere. Now, once you've done that, once you've identified your ICA and your position, then you have to know your message. And at first, they may not respond. Matt Hunt. Tony, do you remember Matt Hunt?
Yes, I do.
He started a company, what was it called? Hard Exercise Works or something, right?
It was something like that. It was something pretty hardcore, yeah.
Yeah, and he's done really well. He's got multiple facilities. He's actually in Florida now. But I remember back in the Peak Roundtable days where he came out with an ad, and the ad was, "You're fat," and it showed like a big hairy belly. And, you know, that doesn't speak to fat people. That doesn't speak. It speaks to the people who will respond to hard exercise works. Like, it was a great ad for his ICA. But, like, somebody obese isn't going to respond to that. It said, "You're fat, hard exercise works." So it speaks to people who want to get fit, who want exercise. And he really delineated that ICA. And he built a whole company around it. So he had a message. That was, you could waste your time with all the bullshit out there, but if you really want results, you got to exercise hard, and there's no better place to do it than here. So if somebody walked in and said, "Do you have like an easy course?" "No, we don't. It's not for you. Go somewhere else. Go to Curves. We're about hard exercise, but it works. We're going to give you a result." Now, Curves went a completely other direction. Their marketing was great, too. They marketed to women who are intimidated being in a co-ed gym. Most of them overweight. Most of them dieters. Curves, believe it or not, is still in business. And, man, I had a conversation with the I don't know, the owners. I don't know what they were, but somebody up in the franchise. I know Tasso has had some experience with them. Well, they're so weak. It's really sad. It's kind of pitiful to see how their message falls flat. But at the time,
they're almost autonomous.
Say it again.
I said they're almost all autonomous because the message of the women's only workout center and have a good time and socialize has been lost because some people who were exercisers bought Curves and then, you know, turned it into a hard circuit class and, you know, but it's really very few of them follow their message.
Yeah. And it's so watered down, and that's why I say it's so weak now that they're really just floundering. And I think, you know, society has changed a lot. And with the internet and Instagram, you know, people are used to seeing, like, a bodybuilder used to really stand out, like an image of a bodybuilder. But now, like, everywhere you look, there's, like, fit bodies and super fit bodies. So Curve's whole message is just sort of washed away, and what I find is the people who buy Curves are typically the avatar. Like, most of them are overweight women. So at the time where women didn't have a place to go because every gym was co-ed and, you know, people were lifting weights, it made sense, and they go through the circuit, and they'd be camaraderie, but we're in a different time now. The message doesn't work anymore. But they knew their ICA. So I'm saying to you, when you know your ICA, because Curves did one of the most expansive growth of any franchise ever. So they did something right. They just didn't move. They just didn't move with the time. You know, people looked at what they did, and they stepped on them, and they did other things that were somehow better. And Curves didn't change. So you got to know your message. Why are you the best option? So if a guy who was an athlete and got married and ate like a pig and his wife didn't let him work out and then he got divorced and now here he is with a gut and he sees Matt Hunt's, "You're fat, hard exercise works," he goes there and he goes, "I'm ready. Tell me what to do." If an overweight woman who feels intimidated sees that ad, she's going to be disgusted by it. So you've got to be able to answer the question for your ICA. why are you the best option? And if the answer is because we do hard exercise and hard exercise works, that's good if your ICA is somebody who will respond to that. If your answer to the question is because we're not intimidating, we're not threatening, there's nobody in here who's going to make you feel uncomfortable, that works for a different avatar. But you could see those messages don't overlap. So know your message that answers the question, why are you the best option? I am the best option for anyone who has been on diabetes medication or thyroid medication or diagnosed with metabolic syndrome. I have these conversations every day. I got to tell you this quick story. This guy comes in. He wanted to do stem cells and he wanted to do biohacking. So we set appointments and in the morning he went and he got a little stem cell infusion intravenously. But he had pretty much every chronic disease. I mean, it was a yes, yes, got that, uh-huh, yes, yes. He was on a million medications. And then he came and we put him in cryo. And he didn't have anything we'd consider a true contraindication. We put him in cryo, and then we put him in the hyperbaric. And he was in the hyperbaric for about 30 minutes, and he came out and he didn't feel well. He felt really dizzy. So sat down, gave him some water, gave him a little bit of juice, bring his blood sugar back, and he felt really warm. And then other people go, uh-oh, COVID. And it wasn't COVID. But, you know, he went home. We said, okay, it's a lot. You know, stem cells going into your body and now getting all this oxygen into your cells, so go home and lay down. And then he calls that night. He goes, I have 104. I go, shit, we'll get to the hospital. Like, I don't know what that is, but he goes, do you think it was from the hyperbaric? No. I mean, oxygen doesn't cause 104 degree fever. So the next day, he's sent home. He doesn't have anything diagnosable. They put him on some antibiotics. And I'm asking him, do you think there's something that you did that was out of the ordinary? Did you take something different? Were you around somebody who gave you some tea or some herb? And here's what he goes, get ready for this. He goes, maybe it was the leeches. I said, what? He goes, yeah, I went to get Russian leeches. I said, you did what? He goes, yeah, I went to this woman who you lay on a paper and she takes out, like with little tongs, she takes out these leeches and they suck your blood.
People are crazy, man.
Well, yeah, it may be crazy. And by the way, believe it or not, Tony, this is coming back. Like, this is an ancient thing that's coming back. So I'm not surprised he did it. What surprises me is it didn't even cross his mind. Like, did you do anything out of the ordinary? Nah. Nothing? No. Probably maybe
saying.
It was the leeches.
That's what I'm saying, that he couldn't put that together to think that might have been the problem.
He's thinking it's the hyperbaric. He's going, it was the oxygen. No, yeah, okay. Oxygen doesn't give you fever.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, well, maybe it was the leeches.
That she pulled from out the swamp and behind.
So, yeah, people are absolutely crazy. I mean, this is proven to me every single day. So I know that I am the best option for him, better than leeches. I know that. He will not get fever from me. But I'm telling you, anybody who comes in that has a – so this is the ICA that I've just learned to market to so well. And because I market to this ICA well, I get a lot of them. And because I get a lot of them, I get a lot of them outcomes that they want. And because I get a lot of them outcomes that they want, more and more and more keep coming. So that's what you have to figure out is – who is your ICA? What is your position? And how do you answer the question, why are you the best option? Now, they never ask that out loud, but if you could answer that question, there's nowhere else for them to go. So if I had to give you three business principles that are foundational that I think most trainers miss, one, know your ICA and your position. Two, know your message that answers the question, why are you the best option? And three, exploit every single pipeline and relationship. Now, when I say exploit, I mean do it ethically. why wouldn't you share your message through the people who know what you do for a living? So once you know who your ICA is, you take a look around and you say, who do I know that knows a lot of people like that? And that's your pipeline. And if that opens a door for you to do a monthly talk at some company, okay, that's a great pipeline. For me, we give free memberships to all the girls who work at Raw Juice. They're all cute, between 18 and 22 years old. They come in and they work out and they love it, and we give them a free membership as long as they get us 4 memberships a month. So they're sending us people left and right, so it's a pipeline. So you don't need a store. You just need to know people, and you do. So really, that gives you such marketing strength if you just do those 3 things and nothing else. Know your ICA and your position, know your message, and exploit your pipelines. That's it. That's it. That's the essence of marketing. Now, I know, you know, at first, if this is the first time you're hearing it and it isn't, it seems kind of abstract. But when you have your ICA and your message and your pipeline, marketing is easy. Really, it's not a challenge anymore. And as you get to know your ICA, you could formulate your plan so it's very strategic. Like, what do you want people to ask you when they call? Because you can get them to ask that. You don't want them to go, hey, how much is it? So if you know what you want them to ask you, then you have to kind of deflect and get them to ask a better question. But you got to know what you want them to ask, and then you can get them to ask it. And what is your single marketing directive? I learned this a long time ago, because once I started like doing the 5 a day and meeting people everywhere, I'd get really stuck because they'd go, okay, I'm interested. And I'd go, okay, well, you want to do a consultation? I can come to your house, or I can meet you at Sunrise Fitness, but I'm only there in the mornings, or maybe you want to come to – it wasn't until I started doing the group orientations that I just learned. Now when I meet somebody, I say, come to my orientation, $20 money-back guarantee. I had one marketing directive. So, Tony, it sounds like you're getting to that point. Your 14-day program is the marketing directive. You meet somebody and they go, I'm interested. I'm your ICA. You're my best option. What should I do? Sign up for my program, right?
Yep. That's where it's headed.
So what is your single marketing directive? Now, if you haven't done these things, I'm telling you, it's not the first time you've heard them, but consider them now. And then what is the next action they should take? So, Tony, after they finish your 14-day program, what should they do?
They should go into the Quattro.
Okay, so there it is. So when you start to know that, you don't have to market to everybody individually and figure out what's in their brain. I mean, you still have to influence them, but once they're in your network, so all of this makes marketing easy. I have gained leverage with a good number of doctors. And every time I speak at a conference where there are trainers who want to get into the world of medicine, they always ask me the question, you know, how do you get doctors to give you referrals? And I get really tired of the question. You know, I mean, my favorite answer in terms of it really being valid and efficacious is find a doctor who you could send patients to for something specific, like labs. Because if you go to a doctor's office and go, I want to talk to the doctor about sending me referrals, he has much better things to do. Hey, doc, wait, I just want to ask you something. I'm a great trainer. Here's my card. Will you send me referrals? He's not going to send you anybody. You're a nuisance. But if you say, hey, doc, you know what? I train a lot of clients in this area, and they're all having trouble getting labs. Do you do lab work here? How could I send people? And now at least he knows you. That's a step. And then what happens is he starts to notice things like, wait a minute, this person who had diabetes doesn't have diabetes anymore. So don't think of it as getting the doctor to give you referrals. Think of it as building a pipeline. Every relationship that I have with a medical pipeline was a relationship between me and the doctor before I'd ever ask for referrals. The first step is being able to go to lunch, being able to pick up the phone and call, being able to share a story, being able to invite them to something. Because if you think of the doctor as a person, suddenly the doctor becomes a peer. But if you think of the doctor as a referral source, you're elevating them so that they're kind of out of your reach. So once I have a relationship with a doctor, then I try to figure out the win-win. How can I make this work? Now, it's a little tricky because you can't do a revenue share. You can't do a kickback to a doctor. So that violates medical ethics. So you can't say, hey, doc, if you send me people, I'll give you $100. You can't do that. And you can't say, let's do a seminar together and we'll split the money. You can't do that. But you can do a seminar and pay the doctor for being there. So you've got to figure out how to make this work. And I made it work many, many different ways. The doctor can collect the money and pay you as a contractor. So you can create a relationship where if the doctor offers ongoing services like IVs, like what I just mentioned at BioStation, like labs, you sell your programs and training to the patient, and then you send them back so they remain active in the doctor's office. I have that relationship with the medical office up in Palm Beach. I keep 100% of what I generate. They make money doing follow-ups, labs, and IVs. Now, I'm not saying you have to go to doctors. I'm just saying for my ICA, it's a perfect pipeline. So when I'm looking to exploit these relationships, ultimately I'd like to reach their audience. I'd like to reach their patient base. But it's not just a sit down, let's figure this out and go. It's strategy. So I try to position the doctors so that they are advocates for the programs I offer. Not, hey, Phil and I are doing a program together, but listen, guys, if you're looking to lose weight, if you're still struggling with your diabetes, you got to get on this 21-day reboot program. Now, it's important to state that this is not most doctors. Most doctors would not have this kind of alignment. They wouldn't even have the presence of mind to consider brain, immune system, gut, mind, spirit, cell. They wouldn't even hear that. The doctors that I have formed alliances with find that my programs are in line with what they know works. I would even say with the medicine they know works because they are in the field of medicine. So when I work with Dr. Bleiweiss, we'll try to do a seminar together, kicking it off, or a webinar, or a presentation, so they feel that he's very connected to the program, although after that, he can fully disconnect. When I work with Dr. Ashton, who I work with in Palm Beach, we pre-record videos. Dr. Ashton just talking to his phone, and he says, hey, so glad you joined the program. This is really going to change your life. They're already recorded, but when somebody signs up, they get that. So they feel like there's FaceTime. So he gets the glory, like he directed them here. The doctors are great pipelines for me because my avatar is someone with chronic disease. Now, that doesn't mean that's where you should go, but I just want you to understand the importance of matching your ICA, your position, and your pipelines. So when people have chronic disease, where do they go? Well, they go to the doctor. And most medical offices are just insurance models and assembly line. They don't care about me. They don't care about you. But Dr. Ashton, Dr. Levy, Dr. Brasilia, Dr. Rodriguez, Dr. DeLuca, Dr. King, all the other doctors that I work with, they buy in fully to what I preach, and they could speak on it. They could preach at my side, all of them. So they're not the typical doctors, but they're pipelines I found. So when you find your ICA, you now ask the question, who knows these people? And that's where you start to market. If your ICA is people with back problems, Maybe you form a relationship with Home Depot. Because they got a lot, they're reliant on a lot of people's backs. If your ICA is somebody who sits all day, maybe you form some relationship with Uber drivers. For me, it's doctors only because my ICA goes to a doctor. So I would say you got to know what you're looking for in forming the pipelines, and you can't know what you're looking for in forming the pipelines unless you know your ICA. Most of my metabolic reboot people, not all, because keep in mind, you're not limited to your ICA. I have thoroughbreds in the reboot program, but that's not my ICA. Most of the people who come into my program would be a woman with more than 15 pounds to lose with a thyroid issue. I love that one because I am the best option. Nobody's helping her, and I will. Or a man or woman with prediabetes or type 2 diabetes with weight loss resistance. That used to be a hard one for me because of their belief system, but I've learned to change it because they go, no matter what I do, nothing works. Or I would say the third category of ICA who comes into my reboot program is a man who's in denial of his metabolic syndrome until he faces himself. I meet a lot of them. Usually dads, they don't want to acknowledge, you know, their gut, their blood pressure, their medications. No, I'm fine. No, you kidding me? I'm fine. No, I know what to do. I just don't do it right now, but I will again. But when they confront it, they get emotional. And now they're ready. So where do I find these people? Not only through doctors, but certainly through doctors. So now that these doctors know me and know what I do, they send people my way. Not because they ever ask for referrals, because now they go, hey, listen, you got type 2 diabetes, you got to go see Kaplan. So know your ICA, know your position, know your message that answers the question, why are you the best option, and exploit every pipeline and every relationship ethically. That's it. Really, that's it. Now, yesterday I had a true call, and I covered some realities related to medicine that I think they might be worth repeating here, because I believe even if you love working with athletes, the greatest opportunity for us over the course of the next 5 years to really stand out and make money is in the space that I've been pioneering. I've been kind of floundering to establish this space from 2005 forward, and I was speaking at medical conferences and trying to win doctors over, but I figured a lot of things out since then. This space between fitness and medicine, all that work paid off because timing is now. And while many will try to step into it soon, because on the other side of COVID, this idea of inflammation and sick and people caring about their health and immune system, you watch how many fitness people and doctors try to kind of step into that arena. But here's the advantage I have, and you guys have. They're not going to be equipped to deliver the results. Like, they'll see the market for sure. But I've invested all that time since 2005 answering the question, why am I the best option? Very few trainers will be able to deliver the results, even that the Metabolic Reboot Program does, even if people never meet me, because they're so locked in to eat right and exercise, they don't understand the process of maladaptation and reversal. And that's what it comes down to. Curing chronic disease really means undoing maladaptation. And when I shared this with the True Group yesterday, I was really doing it from the perspective of a single word. It was really just from the perspective of belief. Those trainers are not as seasoned as you guys, so they're still fearful. You know, it's still like they're listening and they're going, well, maybe, but is this really true? You know, can we really reverse? Can we? And some of them have proven it, but some of them haven't. So I just made the point, it all comes down to belief. If you don't believe it, then you're creating your own truth. If you don't believe that we can help people reverse chronic disease, then you're absolutely right in your own life. But don't try to bring that to mind. I talked about the last decade or 15 years of science and how much it's changed everything. I remember, I don't know how long ago it was, 5, 6 years, maybe more. I wanted to see if everybody in the Be Better group, and Holly was with us, Ernie was with us, if everybody would do a meditation every day for 30 days. And Tony, I think you were the only one who did it. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, I did it.
Yeah. And why? Well, because it's hard. You know, it's hard. I can't sit that way and just be quiet. My brain chatters. I'm too busy. You know, these are the excuses. Well, now we have science. I'm not just talking about like yogis. I'm talking about hardcore science measuring brain waves, measuring neural connections that show that meditation is incredibly healing. That when somebody accepts that they are consciousness in a body, when they can get into that state of pure consciousness, they are in the most amazing state of homeostatic balance. Science has revealed that. So this is why in my programs I have people do the moving light meditation. I'm not going to do a whole sermon about meditation and consciousness, but we're integrating it in a way that it's user-friendly. And this is a part of the reason why this works. And the journal and the gratitude, like all of this is based on science. You know, sometimes people think, oh, yeah, Phil just took a little of this and a little of that. No, this is a study. We also now know crazy, crazy, crazy things about the microbiome that 20 years ago nobody could even fathom. I mean, we absolutely know that most disease progression, most chronic disease progression is related in part, if not fully, to dysbiosis or leaky gut. Because when you cripple the powerful bacteria that are a part of you, you cripple your immune system. Science didn't know that. So when I say trainers can't step into this space, they don't know this. And even if they know it enough to say it, they don't know what to do with it. So this is why. In the last phase of circadian nutrition, I encourage people to eat fermented foods and to have probiotics. And I explain a lot about the gut biome. Not in a way that it's overwhelming, but it's integrated. So it's not just the workouts and the eating, it's the brain, immune system, gut, mind, spirit, cell delivered in a very, very user-friendly, palatable way that people can implement and see benefit in. You know, we also call them the gut bacteria, but I started studying some stuff with Dr. Hyman at one point, and then it just hurt my brain so much, I said, I can't continue this. It gave me the thought, this is going to sound really weird, but it gave me the thought that when we think of infinity, we think of up, right? Like we think of space. So we think, oh, yeah, well, there's our solar system, galaxy, and then there's another one, and then maybe there's a universe beyond that. Then it keeps going and going and going, and somehow it's infinite. So we think like up. You just keep going. You go in a rocket, and you just keep going forever and ever because it's infinite. But what I started to feel is infinite is also in. I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, if you think of a cell, and we could see a cell with a 30x microscope. If we take a microscope that's 30 times magnification, we could actually look at the cell. And we could see the nucleus. And if we go to like a 60, we could see the organelles. We can see the organs within the cell. But the crazy thing is all of those organs are made up of material. And in the material is DNA strands and RNA. And those are made up of proteins, and those are made up of amino acids. So it gets like smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And it begs the question, how far can you go? Maybe we can't fathom infinite going in. But I don't know. Because way beyond the bacteria in your gut, there are organisms that they don't have a cell wall, they don't have a nucleus, but they're real. And they produce methane. Cows have them. And these little, tiny, non-bacterial living organisms can live in extremes, which is why they can survive the acid in your gut. Like, think about that. Like, something's living in acid. And you have yeast, and you have fungus, and you have parasites, and you have viruses. And then you have something called bacteriophages, which are like tiny micro, it's all microscopic, but tiny, 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 tiny viruses that infect specific bacteria. So there's a constant war going on inside your gut, and if the war is being won by the right bacteria, then you've got a really healthy gut and a really healthy body. Trainers don't know this, guys. This is why I'm saying we have such an advantage, but you've got to see it. You've got to recognize this. And I'm not saying you have to become an expert. You never have to talk to anybody about bacteriophages, but you do have to talk to them about probiotics and fermented foods if we're going to fix dysbiosis. It doesn't sound pleasant. I've had many of my clients go for a stool sample. The reason is we need something to sit on. I'm tired of a chair. We're going to get a stool. No, the reason is because that's the only way we could really know what's going on inside their gut. We see what comes out. Now, I don't actually look. I just get the report on paper, and it's clean. There are neurons in your gut. There are genes in your gut. The gut is like the epicenter. And most trainers never learn this. And by the way, with the exception of functional medicine docs, doctors don't learn this. I probably told you guys about the ER doctor that I had lunch with, and he said, yeah, I'd like to learn something about the gut biome. I heard it has a lot to do with health. It was stunning to me for a moment until he pointed out, I'm an emergency room doctor. I learn to keep people from losing their hand. I take knives out of people's rib cage. I don't know anything about the gut. Where would I have learned that? So we have this power if we're willing to use it. The question is, who are you going to use it with? Who's your ICA? I'm sharing mine, not because you have to follow it, but you can see how all of this ties in to me being the best option. By the way, the gut biome is almost like a fingerprint. Like, your stool sample is yours. It's not going to match anybody else's. But you know who it will come the closest to? Your mother. Which, when you think about it, kind of makes sense. In the outskirts of alternative medicine, they're doing fecal transplants, where people are literally taking baby poop and putting it in capsules and eating it, trying to get a healthy gut biome. Is it sound science? There's some evidence to show it is. I'd rather eat probiotics and fermented foods. But I'm just saying there's a whole world of evidence that we didn't have years ago. So trainers have never learned this, and doctors have never learned this. So in this marketplace where I know that the dysbiosis is contributing to the person's chronic disease, I can speak to them about why nothing's helping them. Yesterday in the True Call, I made a statement, and I said, nobody will be able to dispute this statement because it's a fact with an extensive, expansive body of evidence. Adrenal stress perpetuates disease. Now, when I say that to you, I hope it opens a door in your mind to say, huh, if adrenal stress perpetuates disease and I meet somebody who is moving away from health, if I could mitigate or minimize the adrenal stress, maybe I could get them well. Meditation and gratitude help to mitigate adrenal stress. All-out bursts contribute to parasympathetic recovery. But if I were to say that to a general practitioner, adrenal stress perpetuates disease, how would that impact the general practitioner's practice?
There's no prescription, so he doesn't have a, if he accepted it, it would impact in improving the results he got with his patients. But if he looks at it at the short term, it's going to curtail his credibility to the pharmaceuticals, for lack of a better way of saying it.
So if he hears this statement, my guess is with the great majority of general practitioners, they'll hear it in one ear and out the other because it doesn't matter to them. Because they're not in the process, they're not in the business of curing disease. See, that's the beauty of what we can do. Doctors, which is where people go to cure their diseases, are not in the business of curing disease. So you see how I found a niche. Not overnight, took a lot. But I'm inviting you guys to recognize this. And choose your ICA, and if your ICA overlaps with mine, great. We speak the same language.
Did you? Can I quote you on that? Adrenal stress perpetuates chronic disease.
Sure. 1,000% in front of any audience.
No, I'm saying I want to post it, but I want to make sure I quote you.
Yes, 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 absolutely. Now, mankind seeking immortality has always sought out a tonic or a potion or a medicine. You know, in Tibet, there are some rites that they would do that are exercises. They're called the five Tibetan rites. And apparently, they keep them very young and nimble and limber. But that's rare. In most parts of the world, they're not looking for an exercise practice. They're looking for a tonic or a potion or a medicine or a fountain of youth or something that they can take or eat or swallow or rub on their skin. If you guys want to see something interesting from history, look up Theriac, T-H-E-R-I-A-C.
Spell that again, Phil.
T-H-E-R-I-A-C. This was the tonic available to the royals. This was the tonic available to the ancient Greeks and then the ancient Romans. This became very valued in trade in the Baltic Sea. It was first used to stop somebody from dying from snake bite, and it did exactly that. But what started to happen back then is they would take it for everything, and it seemed to work for everything. But it was a secret. It was formulated by the servants of the king, the scientists of the king. And, you know, word leaked out among the royals, found its way across borders. But Theriac made it probably to the 1900s. But then penicillin showed up. And what's really interesting about Theriac, I don't know if anybody really knows what's in there, but it's a combination of somewhere between 50 and 500 herbs. So So what that says is it's plant medicine. It's not a pharmaceutical. So it's really funny how mankind has been searching for this potion, this remedy, and they're looking in the rainforest and they're finding things that work. But today, everybody's just looking for a synthetic drug. Like, what happened? So that's the business the doctors are in. Everybody's looking for the synthetic drug, so the doctor becomes the drug pusher. Legally, without guilt. Almost every person who falls into the category of being sent by the doctor questions whether they could ever reverse the disease. Almost everyone. And so I'm used to that. It doesn't throw me. And they'll very often say, but the doctor said you can manage it, but you can't cure it. And if I argue that, their defenses go up. So I don't argue that. I acknowledge it. I go, yes, the doctor said that. I'm not going to say but, because but would be a contradiction. And what if there was another possibility that you hadn't explored yet that could reverse the disease? Would you be willing to explore it? Nobody says no. Because I'm not contradicting the doctor. I'm not going, well, he's wrong. I'm going, yeah, of course, the doctor said that. But what if? Just what if? And this is just a beautiful tool in influence because it doesn't raise their guard. So now we have a very short discussion. And I go, well, yeah, the doctor said I need to be on this medication forever. I go, okay. And if you continue to just take the medication, don't do anything else, that's an absolute truth. So he's right. But what if? What if 21 days from now, you went to get labs done and you no longer had the markers of the disease? Would you still need the medication? And they're resistant. This is how twisted people's thinking is. This is where the EEM becomes so strong that they can't think rationally. They're so stuck to these flawed ideas. And they'll then say something like, well, my doctor's a really good doctor because his office is jammed with people and they all come there with diabetes. So let's think about that. If your doctor's office is jammed with people who come there for diabetes, they're coming there to get their labs and their prescriptions, right? Right. And if the prescriptions were to reverse the disease, they wouldn't come back, right? So the fact that he's busy means he's not reversing disease. So is it worth $2,200 for being rid of the disease for the rest of your life? Now, why can I have these conversations? Because my belief is absolute. And if you guys aren't there yet, what I'm telling you is start to move there. Because I am the best option for these people. Autoimmune diseases are a whole other category. And this, to me, is really disheartening. Psoriasis is an autoimmune disease. Rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune disease. And they could certainly be uncomfortable and extreme cases debilitating. But what is an autoimmune disease? Well, brain, immune system, gut, mind, spirit, cell. Let's focus on the cell part. CI3, cellular integrity, intelligence, interactivity. These are all things we're going to work on. What is an autoimmune disease? The immune cell has lost its intelligence. That's what an autoimmune disease is. The immune cell thinks a good guy is a bad guy. That's what it is. So it starts attacking the skin. So now, I could see two ways of correcting this condition. One is restore the innate intelligence of the immune system and it'll stop attacking. It'll go, oh, shit, you're the skin. I'm sorry. The other is, let's suppress the immune system. And that's what they do. They prescribe immunosuppressants. drugs that suppress the immune system. Now, if you see the commercials on TV for Humira, Humira, or all of these other ones that have followed, you see the people skipping and hugging, and it's usually an old couple dancing and spinning around, and he dips her. There's nice music playing, and they're saying things like, I got my life back, and I can play with my grandchildren again. And then there is a disclaimer at the end. And it says, may cause loss of appetite, nausea, vomiting, increased hair growth, hand trembling.
And or breathing.
And risk of infection, malignancy, serious illness, or death. That comes out like in a single breath. As they're dancing, you know, it's beautiful music playing. So let me just say that again, but a little more slowly. The drug may increase risk of infection. Well, of course it does, because it's turning down the immune system. I said we all have parasites in our gut. Turn down the immune system, parasites have a field day. An increased risk of infection, malignancy, what does that mean? Well, it means that cancer cells go, oh man, I wish we could really gang up on this person, but we can't because the immune system's fighting us. And then they go, wait a minute, the immune system stopped fighting. Yay! We could go malignant. Tumor party. Increased risk of infection, malignancy, serious illness, or death. That's the drug, guys. That's the answer. That's what they're presenting as the solution. So how come when I do the symptoms checklist and people score a 71 and 21 days later they score a 4, how come their skin doesn't itch anymore? I can't answer that definitively, but I know one thing. We've reversed inflammation and restored immune intelligence. So this is why I'm the best option. There's no risk. There's no risk of an increased infection with me. So let's understand what, let's go one step further. The treatment for the condition, the treatment, cannot make them well. Period. It doesn't address the issue. It just weakens the immune system. So that can't be the best option. So my message to you guys is find your ICA. If it overlaps with mine, great. If not, find your ICA and establish your position. And have your message. And then just exploit it through your pipelines. Really, that is the essence of making marketing work. What do you guys think? Any thoughts on anything? I covered a lot.
I mean, I love it. That's the road I'm taking.
It's a road we should all be taking.
Phil, I actually have experienced what you just said on a health basis, you know, for myself. So I agree with you. It's, you know, it's definitely an accurate statement that you're making about how to change the health. And I've experienced it myself. So that's even more powerful for me.
Yeah. So you have belief. That's not a problem for you.
No, not at all. And I've done it with other people, but my belief is much stronger now because I've done it with myself. In fact,
sure.
You know, you were just talking about psoriasis. I had psoriasis in my scalp, and since I changed my whole pattern with the eating and the intermittent fasting and the exercise, you know, well, the exercise, I always exercise pretty good anyway, you know, I'm focused more on stress release, getting recovery. I don't have it anymore. I don't have a lot
right.
of things that I have.
Right, because you weren't born with these. You were born in divine health. Your systems became maladapted. And you implemented strategies, interventions that worked to bring back what was innately yours to begin with. Nothing to do with the drug.
No, in fact, I got off drugs.
Good. You know, I also want to contrast.
At least the ones I want to get off, anyway.
Yeah, now you do it only by choice, right? I want to contrast two autoimmune conditions, just again to point out the relative absurdity of the medical protocol. I said that one of my big avatars is women with thyroid issues. And when I was conducting my ALIVE program at Memorial Hospital, I was shocked because every single woman over the age of 33, every single one, because we got labs on everyone, was hypothyroid. Everyone. Like the few who weren't 28 years old. And what the doctors would say is, well, that's normal because they're in their late 30s. It can't be normal to have an abnormal reading. Like, you can't, it can't be. And then based on what the labs show, whether there's a deficiency in TSH or it's a deficiency in T4 or T4 and T3, there are different names for these hypothyroid conditions. But they all manifest the same. Weight gain, brittle hair, brittle nails, fatigue, energy lapses, brain fog. So whatever name you give it, they all kind of manifest the same way. But Hashimoto's is one of the more common diagnoses, and it is where the immune system attacks the thyroid gland. And because the thyroid gland is weakened, it produces less thyroid hormone, so they're hypothyroid. So the first course of action, of course, is to give them thyroid hormone. But if the problem is that the immune system is attacking the thyroid gland, what will that do? One thing and one thing only. It'll change the marker. When they get a blood test, and they go, oh, look, you're normal. No, they're not normal. They just don't know that their immune system is still attacking their thyroid. It's just not showing in their blood work because you just altered the blood work. So if over time they get worse, they may go to an immunosuppressant. They may go, okay, well, you know what? Hashimoto's is an autoimmune disease, and thyroid hormone isn't really working, so let's go to an immunosuppressant, which, based on everything I just told you, probably gives you chills. Like, why would they do that to somebody? There's another disease, not as common, but it's called Addison's disease. Anybody heard of it?
Yes.
So in Addison's disease, the adrenals stop producing hormones. They stop producing cortisol and epinephrine. In essence, they shut down. And that severely compromises metabolic function, and ultimately it can be life-threatening, it can be fatal. But Addison's is usually categorized as an autoimmune disease because the trigger is an attack by immune cells aiming at the perceived enemy, the adrenals. So sometimes they'll actually try giving cortisol injections, trying to kind of reignite. And when that doesn't work, they might try some other drug combinations. But then they go, oh, you know what? This is actually an autoimmune disease. Addison's is an autoimmune disease, so we're going to give you an immunosuppressant. So now we have two completely opposite conditions with the same source. Two completely opposite conditions. But here's what I've learned. Every chronic disease, once it manifests into disease, comes with an imbalance between adrenal and thyroid, one way or the other. Because when the adrenals are overworked, the thyroid tries to calm the person down. And it creates RT3 and tries to turn off the Krebs cycle. And that's why they have no energy. But they're anxious because their adrenals are cranked up. Once we restore that balance, they don't have the condition anymore. So I'm saying either way, if we're dealing directly with the adrenals that are overworked or with the thyroid that is underproducing, it's the same condition. It's a maladaptation. It's an imbalance. Stress load is exceeding recovery. The medical field does not see this yet. They see it as a drug deficiency. So here's your drug. That one's not working. Here's a different drug. So I want you to be a little kind of offended by this when you think about what the medical field does to the people who you could help, but I also want you to see the opportunity, because what I'm saying to you is you could help these people. I know in my market, I'm the best option. In your market, you could be the best option if you choose to work with this market. If not, whatever you choose as your ICA, you should be the best option, and you got to find your position and your message. Any other thoughts, comments, questions about anything?
What's your pick for the NBA final?
I'm not even paying attention.
Oh, you don't even care anymore.
I honestly, I've lost so much interest in pro sports.
There's still an NBA?
What's that?
I said there's still an NBA?
Oh, please. Yes, there is. The Knicks.
Yeah, we got a couple of players.
The Knicks are
going to
win.
Just not this year.
The Knicks are going to win, except for they lost already. But
Yeah, exactly.
I think Brooklyn's got a good chance.
Yeah, I think Brooklyn's going to win.
They got the three top guys on that team if they stay healthy.
Yep.
Hopefully none of them have Addison's disease or anything like that. But if they do, Phil, you don't mind if I take those, right?
Right. Hey, Tony, isn't Mayweather fighting Logan Paul this week?
That's Sunday. I'm trying to figure out if I give a crap or not. I'm not sure.
You shouldn't, but it's certainly going to be a spectacle.
I think it's going to be. Sure. I think it's going to be a boxing lesson. And I think
everybody who's gone up against Mayweather gets embarrassed, right?
Yeah, I mean this guy's 200 pounds though. Mayweather's 150 pounds, but
I know, but they all tell you.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I can tell you from my personal experience, I'm 5'5", at tops, 100, and right now I weigh 150 pounds. I've boxed guys 6'3", 240 pounds, and they couldn't handle me. So,
right.
But I'm not Mayweather. I'm nowhere near what Mayweather is.
Well, maybe you could challenge him next.
No, honestly, I think the guy's got a puncher's chance, but Mayweather's pretty crafty, man.
Yeah, we're actually getting, going back to the NBA, we're getting a lot of NBA players coming in right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Who? Name one.
There's a guy named Chris Duarte, who's a top 10 draft. Moses Brown is the starting center of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Shaquille O'Neal has two sons, and the little one is like 7 feet.
Yeah.
Shaquille actually bought a home down here, and his sons are training down here. So, and there's no question who the NBA players are. They got to stand out when they walk in. But, it's a great dynamic because my point is that's not my ICA, but they're coming in. You know, we have a lot of, high school soccer players that are coming in, getting trained. So choosing an ICA doesn't narrow you to that. It just optimizes your marketing so everyone in that market wants you.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that people are going to IHP to see Juan Carlos for inflammation problems, or you think that he just does athletes because that's what his ICA is?
I think Juan Carlos is very pure to the MMA, judo, badass, tough guy, Navy SEAL. Like, I think that's always been his appeal.
Right.
So I've seen a lot of people, forgive me for saying it this way, disappointed with IHP because they weren't of that ilk. They were something else, and they expected something different. But there's an example of a guy who really, like, you bring him Navy SEALs, they will love him. They will keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think, he's chosen his ICA not strategically. It's just kind of who he is. You know, he oozes that. But he certainly had his marketing struggles over the years.
Yeah.
And, there's something important that a lot of trainers learn too late is if you do choose your ICA, it has to be an ICA who could afford what you want to charge them. And what I find a lot of trainers do, and on both ends, like either they go, okay, I'm going to train figure competitors. So now they're training, you know, girls who are 24 years old. They're not working, and they're spending all their money on food, and they can't really afford, so they work at a deal, $1,300 for 12 weeks. And go, okay. But how do you ever get to make money in that market? And I've seen it also on the other end of the spectrum where, with cancer patients, like people who've been survivors or lost a parent. They go, I want to help people with cancer. But they're so empathetic that they're working deals. And they're going, well, you just give me $10 a session, you know. And if you want to work with somebody needy, then do it. But do it out of the goodness of your heart. But don't make that your livelihood. So I think what's important is you choose your ICA, but you got to make sure your ICA can afford you. Tasso, any thoughts on anything I discussed?
Well,
especially on the relationships with the doctors, because I know you have quite a few. I don't know if you fully
really
exploited them yet.
They're blossoming. I haven't exploited those, but I, you know, what I wanted to say was you asked for a comment on the thoughts of today, and I think that I've dripped very slowly. Just like Tony and all of us, I think we're getting to the point where we're about to erupt with what we're doing. But, you know, I had a member that's been with me for probably, I think he's been 9 years with me today. And after his one-on-one session, he came over to me and says, you know, I just want to tell you something. You've done such a good job of reinventing yourself that I never realized, because I see the people and talking to the people about the stories that are starting to come out of this. And when you were talking about marketing, the first thing I wrote down was making our members aware that this guy happens to be so social that when they're sitting out waiting to come into their appointment, they're all sitting out and he's saying, well, you know, what's your story kind of deal, right?
Right.
And so it really, I never thought that the manner in which we have really moved our organization to this message being consistent to us, like it's like, you know, we're highly profitable now, Phil, because we're only open 4 days a week. And everybody goes, when are you going to, you know, the health club people keep going, when are you going to open again 6 days a week? And I go, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm sort of hating coming in on Thursdays. You know, I got my schedule now. You know, we're profitable. We're filling it up. You know, so I think that this allows us the freedom to run our schedule. And you know how I've had to be a slave to the fitness industry. As our one-on-one revenue goes up, our fitness revenue becomes less and less important, even though that end of it is still 35%.
Yeah,
off.
No, it's a smaller piece of the pie, as it should be. You're still bringing in a number, but it's a smaller piece of the pie, and that's exactly what should happen. That's great.
Yeah. And so, you know, I just want to brag a minute that, you know, we are the official trainers of the Rick Hendricks organization in NASCAR. And if you want to see performance, look at what those boys have done the last 4 weeks. They're the first team to ever be first through fourth with their four cars. And when we took over the five team 4 years ago, they had not won in 4.5 years. And so we've got the defending NASCAR champion, Chase Elliott. I've had him since he was 9 years old. That's actually why I have the Hendricks team. And we have Bowman and we have those guys. So
Tasha, who's your ICA?
Well, my ICA is the 50-plus market that has chronic conditions, but
that's good. I'll stay with that. I understand, because, again, we're not narrowing it to that. We're not saying only, but you're speaking a message that a 50-year-old person with chronic disease will respond to pretty close to 100% of the time if you have their ear, correct?
Yeah. But they're intrigued when they see these guys in here, and the funny part is the more business and from NASCAR comes in because it's a driver's wife that has a thyroid condition or something of that nature. It's like from
right.
Other teams, you know. So it's sort of cool that we speak our message, but my passion because of growing up training Bill Elliott and then his son being one of my clients from a young age, we really have that little niche, not even trying to.
But you have an ability to leverage the doctor relationships that you have with a consistent message to the 50-plus person with chronic disease. And I think when you fully tap into that, then you make some life decisions like when do you retire and what island do you move to? Seriously.
Yeah, and the other thing is that you hit it point blank on, Phil, is that our relationships have not been built with me going and saying, hey, how can I get you to send me referrals? It's
right.
I've been able to say to doctors, you know, like, tell me what your strengths are, and I referred in Dr. Mike Fulton for back and neck rehab, his son Brett for endocrinology, the Guptas for endocrinology and non-surgical orthopedic, you know, the chiropractic guys that are functional medicine guys, little by little. And the funny thing is the doctors who are my best friends, I can't make the connection with because they're in the old paradigm of call them and tell them what you want for a medication and they're going to get it for you.
Yep. Yeah, well, that's why, you know, I shared a few doctors that I work with, but I said this is not the majority of them, so you got to find them, and it sounds like you did, but it's not going to be all of them.
No, it certainly isn't. Like I said, my best friends who are physicians, I can't get them, if they want to talk exercise, they want to talk to them about CrossFit, and I go, I don't give a fuck about CrossFit. You're hurting people.
Yeah. So I want to bring this back all the way around, and let's talk about Troy for a minute.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Troy, do you want to share anything about our little text exchange? You don't have to, but just to kind of lay some groundwork.
You're talking about with my clients on the Alive program. So
yeah, you said that you kind of have a goal, and you mentioned your Ascension account. Like it was just you were kind of making a statement.
Yeah, no, I was appreciative of the fact that you started us on the Ascension account. I mean, I've always had an emergency fund and fund that every month, but the Ascension account was, in my head, different.
Yeah.
And I have compared to you guys, I have a very small business. Of course, I don't struggle at all getting these NASCAR people and the NBA players. I got them all. So here in battle, I'm overwhelmed with them. But, you know, I don't have the volume that you guys have. But
what's the name of the Battle Creek NBA team again?
Used to be the Battle Creek Knights, but it was, I did train them. My Ascension account is at 19,000 now during the pandemic. And for me, that's, you know, and I'm funding an emergency account as well, and I'm paying all my stuff and traveling. So just set up my 10-day trip in the UP coming up in October. So, you know, still doing all that stuff, but it's based on the changes in mindset that you've given me and the programs. I mean, you know, I love the reboot, and I'm shooting to get 10 a month would be my goal. I don't see why that can't be done.
It can be done. Mm-hmm. So, Troy, I really believe, and I have for a while, that you've got to be able to kind of step into this position of being not just a trainer, only because you've been the staple of the people who know you as the trainer in the training studio. But when you can really grab the position of helping people reverse chronic disease in line with what we spoke about today, and I know, you know, you've tried, it's not for lack of effort. I know you've tried making contacts with doctors, but you got to just keep trying and try better. Like, we've got to figure out how to alert everyone in Battle Creek that there's a guy who's reversing chronic disease. And maybe you have, you have some media relationships?
I don't really have media relationships any longer, no. I can make them easily enough, but I don't really anymore.
I think maybe the next step for you is to find some high visibility people who have chronic disease. Radio people, TV anchor people, I don't know exactly who, you know, people who are visible, people who are in the newspaper every now and then. You know, Tammy had the mayor of Orlando. Like, that was good for her. She's the trainer of the mayor. But I think it's got to be specifically people with chronic disease, and then you reverse it. So it's not just Troy is their trainer. It's Troy fixed them. Because now other people go, holy shit, if they got that guy, I want that guy. So I don't know exactly how to do that, but I think when we can get you to bring outcomes through the reboot for people who will become those pipelines, 10 a month is going to be really easy. And I'm not kidding. Like you said, I don't see why we can't. It will be easy, but you've got to spark that kind of influx of people coming to you because they were told, you know, I saw this guy do it, or my friend told me that he saw the guy on TV and he cured his diabetes. So, you know, we'll talk more, but I don't know exactly how, but just give it some thought. How do you find some media people, some high visibility people, some vocal people, people who do talks, people who run groups, but bring them the cure? And I think just document everything and do a little video where you're just sitting holding your phone and they talk to the camera at the end. And you're going to get enough material that will turn it into something. But, you know, don't think that because you've tried, it's not going to work. And I like that you just said, I don't see why it can't work. But now I want you to think it will work. We just got to figure out how. So it's going to. And I hope some of what I spoke about today resonated with you in terms of the ICA and the position.
Yes. Yep, absolutely.
Okay, good. All right, Tammy, any thoughts? Heather, anybody else?
Yeah, I have one I worked on, so I'm just going to run it by you. This is going to be my 30-second trailer that plays when you go to my website. And this is what Kristen and I came up with. My name is Tammy Lang, and I help women between 35 and 55 who are looking to reverse weight loss resistance. I use a sophisticated system to help my clients, and when you drop me your email address, I'll send you the first day's meal plan for free. I'm here to help set you on a path toward a better life, free from the frustration that comes with being heavier than you are made to be. I look forward to talking with you soon.
I give it a 7.5.
Can I make a comment?
Well, I got it.
Go ahead, Tony.
Take out the word sophisticated. Sophisticated sounds like work. I was substituting.
Well, no, that was – go ahead.
I would substitute sophisticated with simple.
Okay, well, Bill used that word, and so when Kristen, the girl that does my website, where she helps me write some of my stuff, she said, sophisticated sounds hard, but then she ended up using the word because I think she thought about it. I don't know, that was what Phil had said, so I just used that, but I don't know. I can change
it. I don't know. I don't like it. I think anytime sophisticated sounds like it's involved, I mean, I understand it speaks to how dynamic and how comprehensive that it is, but but as soon as people say you're sophisticated, it sounds difficult for them, even though I believe it's meant to be difficult for you, but really comprehensive for them. I would rather simple and comprehensive.
All right, Bill, what's your take?
You got to put the word struggle in there. The way you said it was very nice, but very weak. So read the beginning again.
Well, I would... My name is Tammy Lang, and I help women between 35 and 55 who are looking to reverse weight loss resistance.
Okay, that's it. Looking to reverse.
Struggle.
Yeah.
So I need to say they're struggling with reverse.
Yeah, because looking to reverse means, like, look at me too. Like, they're shopping, right? But somewhere in this paragraph, you got to be able to say your struggle is over. So, you know, I help people who have struggled with weight loss resistance reverse the condition in a matter of weeks. You know, that's powerful.
Right. Okay.
So I think the more you can connect with this ICA, the more you're going to be able to speak to their pain, right? So they feel a struggle. So when you go looking to reverse, it's just not strong enough. But if you go, I help women between 35 and 55 who struggle with weight loss resistance finally get their bodies back, you know, then they read that and they go, holy shit, that's who I need. So
that's
just be more definitive. Yeah.
Okay.
How do you like the phrase, your struggle is my solution? Like, if she comes out, she explains it, she says, when she hits her pause, she says, your struggle is my solution. I can help you do this. I will help you do this.
So that, I take the fifth.
That maybe takes out the talk about sophisticated and all that.
Sounds like a bad commercial.
Okay.
Yeah, I get what you're looking for. It's just like,
what,
your struggle, my solution. It almost sounds like I relish your struggle. Like, your struggle is my win. Like, I benefit because you struggle, sucker.
Okay.
You know?
Well, listen, mind pops are not always.
Yeah, no, this is brainstorming. I embrace this. Absolutely, yes. No, share anything that comes to mind. Yeah. Now read the part about sophisticated that Tony reacted to.
I use a sophisticated system to help my clients And when you drop me your email address, I'll send you the first day's meal plan for free.
I like the word remarkable. Okay. Somehow you want to express that nobody else does what Tammy does. I would almost put an asterisk. I'm not sure. I'm just thinking out loud right now. That says something like, Tammy Lang is the only practitioner who combines conventional fitness, sophisticated nutritional techniques, if you want to use that word. But
yeah.
It's kind of, it's not in the main body. But I would also say, and a mix of ancient and scientific practices. You know, I would even mention quantum.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, and that's one of the things, and the, I definitely want to talk about the energy medicine part, but I did in my three, like the follow-up would be to offer him a free 15-minute phone consultation, progress to a quantum infinity session, or and then the third for like $75 or whatever, that first one, and then create a personalized diet plan for the other.
Okay, well, start with that.
Okay.
Let's see what kind of responses you prompt. And then down the road, I think you can be a little more distant from it, where like, not immediately, but you'll have them like fill out a questionnaire. Like if you're interested in working with Tammy, fill out this questionnaire. Or, you know, let's see if your weight loss resistance is really reversible, or do you have REMAS? And then when they fill this out, then they'll get hit with options rather than it being front
right.
and center on your website, you know?
Right. Well,
so
that
that's kind of the idea of the one marketing directive.
Back, right.
Yeah, like everyone goes here, and then Tammy will look at it. Because the free 15-minute consult is just so ordinary now, and it just sounds like she's available
well,
all
she
the time.
She just put those in there, but she just was giving me a sample to help me to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's common. That's what most people do. Like a lot of these mastermind groups, you know, they all talk about certain things like the discovery call. But you don't want to be ordinary. You want to be different.
Right.
So you want to be sort of a little bit elitist. Like, you got to be somebody to work with Tammy, and she's expensive and she's worth it. You're not going to say that, but that's a little of the impression they should get. So you can listen to the recording so you'll capture everything that we said, and we can continue to brainstorm this. I mean, I love the way your logo developed just by putting it out in the group.
And I love,
Jason
love that word remarkable, Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a good word. It doesn't sound like pretentious or incredulous, you know? Like some of these people go, amazing, miraculous. But no, remarkable means you're going to see this and you're going to go, wow, that's something different, you know?
Can I add something, Tammy?
Yeah.
You got to promise you're going to use it, though. You have to start out by saying, my name is Tammy Lang and I am awesome.
All right, I'll say that. They might click off on that.
Oh, am I remarkable?
I have references.
Oh, ask Tony.
Ask Tony.
Okay. Thanks. I'm back up.
One day I will show you guys all the job applications I got during this whole COVID period from personal trainers. Because people have sent me things like that. I you know, I am a personal trainer and I am awesome. Period. Hire me. I had another one who said, I'm really fit and I have good workout clothes. I'm a pool man and I've never been a trainer, but I think I'd be good at it. He has good workout clothes. We're in a very, very weird industry, guys. So it's not hard to be remarkable. And Tammy, you do it well. All right, any other thoughts before we wrap it up? Okay, this was a good one. Till we speak again, be better, everyone. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.